Growing Greater brings you stories of innovators, entrepreneurs, and business leaders who are transforming industries and communities as they turn ideas into reality, embrace risk, and invest in new technologies and relationships, all while building legacies of tomorrow. While Growing Greater originates in the city where modern democracy was founded and where innovation is part of the regional DNA, Philadelphia, we bring you stories from around the corner and around the world. Tune in to Growing Greater at radio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts.
Did this all start? I read this online, yeah. And you never know what's real online, yeah. That you actually wrote your first joke for Jay Leno for $50. Is that an actual thing? Really?
I did, yeah.
It's not like a made-up internet thing, but real. No. Okay.
By the way, are we recording?
Yeah, we're just rolling.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, we're just chatting, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. Wow, okay. All right, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Because I usually take my pants off for this.
I was waiting for that. That's what I heard about you. I was like, where's the pants thing? What's going on here? It's Valentine's Day. Give me some action here. You like this? The most flamboyant shirt I could find. This is my Valentine's shirt.
Yeah, I like it.
Justin said it was ugly.
No,
I mean it is, but
no. I love
it's like
it.
Somebody but I wear it once a year, so what are you gonna do?
It's like somebody with a bleeding ulcer threw up on you.
Beautiful.
I just met you and I'm insulting you. Welcome to my world.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to you, though.
Yeah, so
how does your wife feel about this?
She's happy.
Yeah, because I get you out of the house.
Yeah, well, we've been together since high school.
Yeah.
And so you get
you're over it.
Where it's it's like, you know, she was, you know, I was a senior. Yeah, senior. She was knocked out with a roofie. And I don't even know what you could say anymore. People get so offended about everything.
I know.
It's such a PC police world. So,
yeah.
So we've been together a long time. We have a kid. We have a dog. And so they have their routine. And she's like, when you come home, it's like a tornado hits. And the whole apartment is about this stupid dog now because we adopted a dog with a weak sphincter. And it just pees like at the dry. Yeah, you think it's funny? Try living in my house. You literally, it looks like a nursing home in my house.
There's
knee pads everywhere. It smells like Desitin or something. You know, that's
pretty.
And then the dog will just lay there. And she's kind of slutty. I got a picture of her on my phone.
What's her name?
Yeah, her name is Daisy.
All right.
And, where's Daisy? I want to see Daisy.
Daisy is a mix. We got her at Bidoe, okay?
And what she does is, first of all, she gives me dirty looks when I come into the room. Like, she makes me feel very self-conscious. I annoy her, apparently. And my wife says it's the sound of my voice. And I'm like, well, this voice is feeding this thing. So
she better
get her act together. So the dog will just lay there. Hang on, I'm going to find
really digging for that Daisy picket.
Yeah,
It's not your
here
background screen?
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
So, But look how she spreads her
legs. Oh, she's adorable.
No, but wait till a little far. Look at how she spreads her leg like a little whore. She's like a little whore. Now watch this. Watch. The very she's on her side on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to give it
to you. Come here, daddy.
Boy. Yeah. All you need is the music. Look at her.
Who taught her that?
That is like, butt dog.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You can put that on TikTok, Bennett.
And then she has this look in her eye like, just leave the money on the dresser.
Yeah, get out of here, you scoundrel.
Yeah, exactly. And so she really does like, she gets treated like another child in the house. And so like I'll walk in the room and she'll look at me and she'll go like, ugh, this asshole again. And she walks into the other room. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear.
Oh, no, swear away.
And, and then I go into the room that I, like, so like if she goes into the bedroom, and I go in right after her because I forgot to get something. She'll look at me like, really? I just got comfortable in here. You know the rule. You're in that room. I'm in this room, right? And so my wife is like, cool. Because when you're together that long, you know. And I am disruptive. Like, I can be, like, it's just.
Hurricane Paul roll.
I come in and I don't put anything away. And I don't, like, because I don't have the patience. And
I'm the same way.
I can't load a dishwasher.
Yeah.
Not because I'm a guy. It's just there's all these rules, like God forbid you put a pan on the top rack. I got arrested for that. And then you got to put the fork up. You can't put the fork down. And I'm like, why can't I put the fork down? The little box that it goes in has holes in the side. So the water, these are the conversations that are happening in my house.
Seriously.
Okay? And it squirts in the side.
I agree with you.
You're 2020. You can't make a dishwasher that can go down. So like, I'm better off just being in a hotel.
Or like, what's the rule? It's like you have to like wash all your dishes before you put them in the dishwasher.
Yeah,
it's like, what's the freaking point? What's the point of the dishwasher if I'm gonna wash the dishes?
Exactly. Or just give them to Daisy and let her lick them because that's what she does. She just licks everything.
Yeah, get that little whore some dishes.
She does. She she's a, you know, she's asleep around. She really is a whore. I can't. I want to take her back. I think there should be like a lemon law because they didn't tell us she had a weak sphincter, and I think they should have told us that. And yeah. I want to bring
it should
it
be
back.
In the fine print, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, you get bad brakes or something, you get a really, I think they should put her on the lift and swap, you know, swap out the sphincter, put a new sphincter in. Is that unreasonable?
Right, come on, people.
Come on, jeez. Come on. But yeah, so, no, she's cool. But yeah, the thing about Leno, yes, I was working on Wall Street. I was doing M&A deals, merger and acquisitions, and no plan to, you know, I went to law school in D.C. and then I ended up in New York and I was doing corporate law and just doing my thing. And I figured, you know, I'll do this for 20 years and make money and then retire or have a heart attack from all the cocaine. And no, so like basically, and working like all nighters and stuff like that. And then I was right. I made some short films. And then one of my films, I bought my with my camera, with my money, some of the first money I made. In my job, I bought a camera and I started making films. And I don't know why I was making the films, but I was making the films. And one of them got into a big HBO festival. And then I went to that. I lied at people at work and told them my mother was sick. And I was in Colorado at a festival in a movie theater.
Oh my God.
My movie comes up on a giant screen with my name. I'm like, what the f-?
That's insane.
Yeah. And then they invited us to a luncheon for the young filmmakers, like short filmmakers.
Yeah.
So there's like meet here at 9 o'clock out in the morning, whatever. And then, oh no, it was like noon at the hotel. And so you get in a van, and then the van goes into the woods. And then I'm like, why are we in the woods? Am I going to be man raped or something? What's going on here? And then we go to a clearing, and then there's a horse drawn carriage, sleigh, and we get in that, and it brings us through another set of woods. And there's this massive mansion in the middle of like nowhere. And I walk in. And I look down, and there's a brook inside the house. I'm like, you know you have money when you have a brook running inside your house.
Man-made brook. Yeah. Just like chilling.
And I look,
yeah.
And I'm like, whose house is this? And I look, and there's this guy, and it's a picture with Barbra Streisand. Same guy, another picture, him with Robert Redford. Same guy, him with Stallone. And I'm like, whoever this guy is,
he's f***ing huge, right?
And it turned out to be a huge Hollywood producer. And I go into the dining room. And at the table is Spike Lee, Woody Allen, the Hudlin brothers, and Albert Brooks. And
that's I'm insane. Having lunch with them. It's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, hey, any of you guys need M&A work? Because I can do your... And then I started writing jokes, and I went to a private function, and Jay Leno was the entertainment at the private function. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I had a lot of jokes at this point. Like I had like a thick like stack of jokes. And I just went up to him, and I was like... I don't know if you need jokes. I'm never going to use these. I'm a lawyer. You can have them. And he was like, okay. And I was just, like, it just blew my mind that he actually taught, like, in person. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like, and the head's going back and forth. And it's like, and it's almost like it's like you're like helium out of a balloon. Like,
and well, your chin.
Yeah, the chin. Oh, the chin is like a compartment for, like, pencils. It really is. I was looking for the hinges and the latch. You just, when you talk to him, you just want to go breathe a little bit. Right. Just breathe. And then a couple of days later, my phone rings. And no joke, this is what I hear. It's Jay Leno. His phone there. Now, there's in a million years, you don't think Jay Leno's going to call you, right? I thought he was going to just throw him away.
Sure.
So I thought it was my friend David pulling a prank, pretending to be Jay Leno. And I go, yeah, really funny, David. He goes, not really, it's Jay Leno. I go, you're not Jay Leno. He goes, yeah, really. And then I actually said to Jay Leno, you do a lousy Jay Leno. He goes, I think I do a pretty good me. And
that's wild.
I basically, yeah, and I was like, oh my God, I just blew this. And he goes, well, I read your stuff and I need clean material for the Tonight Show monologue. So send in stuff, and if I use it, I'll pay you.
That's awesome.
And then I'll pay you $50 a joke. And then he made fun of me. I go, he goes, what do you do for a living? I go, I'm a lawyer. He goes, I knew it. I go, what? He goes, you write like a lawyer. You're too wordy. He goes, it's like you're writing a contract for every joke. Just get to the punchline already. Because they were like really long, like wordy setups.
Yeah.
I was even giving him like stage direction, like make funny face here. And he's like, I've been doing this a while. I know when to make
That's
a funny
really
face.
That's really funny.
Oh, my God. And then about a week later, he called me and he said, I'm going to do one of your jokes on The Tonight Show.
So what was the joke?
It was... basically about a dog with a weak sphincter. No. it was about this old house, like those contracting shows where they don't reflect reality at all because the guy, the contractor's like clean-shaven, super polite, under budget, does extra work for free, right? You know, giving you stuff. But in real life, the guy's drunk, showing plumber crack, hitting on your wife, going through your sock drawer for money. And it got a big laugh. And it was like intoxicating because like out of that box that I watched my whole life, other people's jokes came out, and then my words came out.
How unreal was that?
Yeah, it was crazy. And then I started to write jokes constantly to the point where I was taking two notebooks to deal meetings, and one was for the deal and the other was for jokes, and I wasn't taking any deal notes. I was just writing joke observational stuff down, and then I had to recreate the minutes of the meeting. So I'd go back, and then I'd like, if like the three of you guys were in the meeting with me and like my fellow associates at the law firm, I go, hey, so what did he say? And they're like, you were in the meeting. Why are you doing right, yeah. You're the one that's Hello? Supposed to keep track. And so then I.
So were you fired? Did you quit?
No, I
Wall
quit
Street.
Because okay. I was having a nervous breakdown at like 26 because I started then because Leno said, go try the jokes up before you send them to me. So I started to do open mic nights on my dinner break. But like we were literally working all nighters or like an early night was going home at 11, literally. Mm-hmm. So you go get dinner and all the other associates would go to like a restaurant around the corner from the building. And I would get in a town car and I'd have it take me downtown to dive bars. And I would change up in the car and I'd take like my suit coat off and my tie and try to look downtown, you know, and edgy, you know.
Right, yeah. Right.
My idea of edgy was like unbuttoning my top button. Right? Yeah. Ooh, this guy's probably going to knife me, you know. And then I would go and I'd wait and, you know, there bars, it was like one bar, they dealt drugs out of there, a hooker worked out of there. The hooker would give you notes on your joke. She would literally really? Go like, how come you're not doing that joke about the cab driver? It just needs a little thing. And I'm like, first of all, get off your knees when you talk to me like that. And secondly, you're not working right now. And yeah. So it was like this dysfunctional group of family members, you know? So I would go do that. And then I would get in the car and I'd dress back up and then I'd go back to the firm. And I'd work all night. And then I just was like running around trying to keep them both. And I kept them separate because I couldn't. The firm is like this really big, like firm, White Shoe. They would not have approved. They would have told me, you can't. We don't want our lawyers doing that. And then I couldn't tell people, you know, these guys would have rolled me at the.
Right.
You know, they would have like stabbed
me. No wonder you had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah. So I was just like, oh man, I don't know.
How long did this go on for? Yeah. This double
life. It was
like
a year and a half.
Wow, my God.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't thinking of planning. I just was like, I'll get it out of my system. I'll get it out of my system, you know?
Yeah.
And then it was just like, oh man, this is still in my system. What am I going to do? Right. And then so that became like, okay, what do I do? Do I leave? Do I stay? If I leave, I'm giving up all this security. I'm a middle-class kid from Rhode Island. I don't come from money. Am I going to throw all this away and start over in a thing that I don't even know anything about? And then it was like, you know, I don't want to look back and say I should have. And so I was like, I think I'm going to go. And then I told my, you know, my mother and father, my mother, it's like, she's 93 now. As Italian, high school educated, like, you know, my son's a lawyer, right? And I go, well, I think I'm going to leave Wall Street to be a comedian. And she took a beat. She looked at me and she goes, that better be your first joke.
And that's pretty good, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. You can come on the road with me.
Yeah.
And but I can't have her come see me because she's like, she's first of all, she's shrinking by the minute. She's 2.5 feet tall now. We take her around in a little shopping bag. And she has really bad hearing. So she wears a hearing aid all the time. And it whistles. Like, it's like a lot of... There's a lot of that, right?
Yeah.
And she, you know, if you take a walk with her, it's like dogs just immediately come flying. She tracks dogs with the whistling hearing aid. And so one time I'm performing and she comes to a club and I don't like her to come because I just, having my mother's weird, but I'm like, she wanted to come. It's in our hometown, Providence. So I said to my sister who's taking her, I go, just make sure, because my mother's like out of her. I'm like, she doesn't, you tell her to do A, she's going to do B. So I'm on stage. Now, just imagine you're on stage. It's your mother, right?
Yeah.
And I look in the back. I see in the back of the room this little, like a little dwarf, like moving left to right, left to right, left to right, just a shadow. And it's my mother trying to get near a speaker and sticking her ear up toward the speaker so she could hear me. So in the middle of the show, I go, Ma, sit down. And everybody looks at me like, does he have Tourette's? Like, what happened, right?
What's happening here?
And I go, sit down, right? Just like this. And then I start yelling at my sister from the stage. I go, Karen, you're supposed to keep her in her chair.
Oh, my
and then
God.
I had to tell people that my mother was like, is half deaf and in the back. And she just like, because she's like, you have to tie her down. She's out of her mind. Like, she started a business in a tenement house. Uh-huh. In the 1960s with two kids, when women of that generation generally didn't work and certainly not start business.
Sure.
So very like ahead of the curve, but then also a colossal like pain in the ass. Like
same time.
Oh, she's just out of her mind. She doesn't use filing cabinets because they're too expensive. So she puts all of her bills and files in styrofoam coolers.
What?
Yeah. And then she, I'm not you. And then she writes on the side of them because they're lightweight and they're easy to carry around. So like she, then she can say, okay, well, I gotta pay freight bills tonight. So then she'll take it,
go to the cooler,
put it in her car, yeah, and then put the cooler in her car, and then she'll go home, and so she can run around with them. Oh, and I just I looked at it one time, and I'm like, well, she gets audited. She looks like she's going on a picnic. It's really like, where are the sandwiches? Right. Where's the beer?
Oh,
it's
my
just,
God.
It's,
she's too funny. She's
yeah,
a riot.
So
she's 93 now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she will
good
not go
her
down. Yeah, we try everything. She will not go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, sour milk.
She's a, oh, she's, resilient young
yeah,
lady.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, yeah. You trip her, she just bounces right back up. You give her acid. She does it. She comes right
sturdy
down.
Sturdy lady.
Yeah.
What can we say?
Yeah, so she's still running her business at 93.
Wow.
No. Are you serious?
Yeah, my father died like 20 years ago. Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah. Well, it keeps her busy, but, you know, we don't know. She gets herself in trouble, and then, like, we have to go and, like, because they don't tell you when there's a problem because they don't want you to put them in a home. Mm. Like, she's obsessed with, like, you're not putting me in one of those assisted living facility, like, you know, so she's very independent. So like she'll do something and screw something up or whatever, and then she won't tell you. Like my brother called me, this was, I don't know, earlier at the end of last year, and he goes, you know, daddy's van was stolen. So we have a van for the store to deliver furniture, but it was also, my father put floors in for a living, so it was, he also used it for that. And I go, no. I go, when was it stolen? Now, if someone tells you your dad's van was stolen, you think yesterday? A year and a half ago.
What?
Yeah. And my mother told the guy that works for us, don't tell my kids that the van was stolen.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what she does. And so, And
have you guys like kind of teased that you're going to put her in a home for years? Has this been like a bargaining chip?
Well,
she,
we
like,
drug her and take her to homes, but she always gets out. She's very wily. You know what I mean? She slathers herself in olive oil and sleeps out the bed. No, because you can't even bring that up. But like, so I'm yelling at her, like, you know, you can't, you got to tell us that the truck was stolen. That's a big, she goes, well, it needed brakes anyway. Like, that's not the rationale. Like, you know, so like. We stopped trying to get her to do anything that she doesn't want to do because she's just going to do the opposite of what you tell her to do.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I can't, we tried to work in the store, but you can't work in the store. Like she's like out of her mind, you know?
Right.
And like, and she won't listen to anybody and she just does things her own way. And she like, there's like this thing, I don't know what it is. It's in her DNA. She'd be a good comic because like you do she does the opposite of what you tell her to do or
right.
ask her to do. And so, you know, I think we're just going to have to drug her, handcuff her and put her in a place and she's going to like it. God damn it.
Happy Valentine's Day, Mom.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you call her today on Valentine's Day?
My wife?
Yeah. Or your mom?
No, I won't call my mother because we're getting in an argument. She'll annoy me.
So, yeah, all right. Yeah. So she's history on Valentine's
Day.
How
to call your mom?
Well, no, first of all, it's like talking to a tea kettle in a house dress with the hearing aid thing. It's like just constant, what?
Yeah.
And, but like,
I'll
probably call her. I got her some discount flowers. They only one petal per stem. She's not worth the full bouquet. No, I'm going to call her. And you know, but she, it's like, she just can't hear anything, so it's hard to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And so she won't wear a hearing aid, and she does it to annoy us, right? So, like, one time we're going into my brother-in-law's house, and I'm like, Ma, you got to wear your hearing aid, because when you talk, you have to really, like, project. And,
yeah.
And that gets exhausting, right? So she goes, oh, and we're standing in the driveway, and it's a stone driveway, and she's got the hearing aid in her hand, and like a gray hearing aid, whatever. And she goes, oh, you don't think I'm going to wear this? And then she just, like, she with you, like she doesn't want to, like she knows it's annoying me, right?
Yeah.
She goes, oh, well, I'll put it in, and then in the middle of the conversation, she drops it in the driveway, and then she didn't have her glasses on, and she reaches down to pick up the hearing aid, and instead she picks up a stone that looked like a hearing aid and stuck it in her ear, and I'm like, oh, you know what? You deserve that. And I just walked away. And so, like,
I'm going to call your mom today.
Yeah.
I feel like I know her at this point.
Yeah, no, she's cool, but she's just like, she needs her own planet. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But you guys are so funny.
Yeah.
Well, I could talk to you about your mom and your whore dog Daisy all day, but I know that you have to run and do the whole media circuit.
Man, this is a lot of fun. I had no idea we were even on. This is awesome.
This is cool, right?
Yeah, this is great. You do this every week?
I'm here. Yeah. So whenever you're in town in Philadelphia, pop on in. You know where I am
now. Yeah, I've been doing a one-man show off-Broadway in New York, and we're talking about taking it on the road, and I really like Philly, and so, you know, I might... You know, get your number, whatever.
That'd be great. Yep. Yeah. We would love that, back, for sure.
To promote something. But yeah, it's been really fun. I just bring people on stage and they tell stories from their lives.
It's a complete and it's totally improv, right?
Yeah, totally.
That's like my favorite part of comedy, just improv stories, off the cuff.
Yeah, and I do that in my act too. So like I'll spend some time talking to people. But it's not like crowd work to get into a bit.
Right.
Like, hey, you have a hat. And then I magically have a bit about
the hats, yeah.
It's just more like, you know, conversation,
yeah,
wherever it goes. And then, you know, the funny finds itself. And people are really funny in their own right. And so like you just, you know, like there was a woman real quick and I said, what's your name? She goes, Nydia. I go, Lydia? She goes, no, Nydia. I go, oh, that's a unique name. How'd you get that name? And the premise of the show is everybody has a story. And if we talk, we connect. And if we connect, maybe we see like we have more in common than we think and people aren't at each other's throats. It's not
right.
A political show. It's just,
sure.
And not a heavy message, but like, you know, there no comedy, no stand up, any of that. And Nydia, she goes, yeah, well, my father named me after his lover. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you were born out of wedlock. No big deal. She goes, oh, no, he was married to my mother, got her pregnant with me, was having an affair with a woman, and named me after the woman he was having an affair with. Yes. For those of you listening, all three people here have their jaw on the floor. That's what everybody in the audience did. And I go, how was that? She goes, it was weird.
As you would expect.
Yeah, exactly. So there's like some of the stories have been incredible. And there's actually stuff on my... YouTube channel and my website. So if you listen and subscribe to my channel, it's Paul Mercurio, and I have a podcast with lots of different people like Paul McCartney and Bryan Cranston, Stephen Colbert, Neil deGrasse Tyson. So like, there's something for everybody. But the YouTube channel's got a lot of stuff on it. But yeah, it's been really fun. So I'd like to come try to take it down here. You know.
Yeah. Billy would love you. You have a lot of stories in Philadelphia. Some crazy people.
Yeah,
so.
I know. And
that
really
might work
amazing.
Out well for you.
There's stories when you hear them, you go. Like if we were in a writer's room at the Late Show and we were trying to come up with a skit,
right?
We'd come up with the premise and then go, no, nobody would ever name their kid after that. No one would believe this. Scratch this. Let's start again.
Yeah.
It's like, and literally
unreal.
85% of the stories are like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez. It's really crazy.
Probably makes you feel better about your own life.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just dealing with a dwarf Italian woman who can't hear.
I have made. I have it easy.
I got it easy, baby. But yeah, so.
Please come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'd love to have
really
you. So two shows tonight at Punchline, right?
Two shows tonight, Friday and two Saturday, 7:30 and 9:45, right? Both Friday and Saturday. And
beautiful.
Then Sunday, 7:30.
Bring your significant other. Bring your lover. Yeah.
Bring
the Punchline Philly.
Dog. Bring your dogs are welcome.
Bring them all. They're all welcome.
Bring
them all.
Alone,
animals,
man.
Cats. Yeah. Yeah, this is really fun, man. Thank you.
Yeah, Paul, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.